You can give these out, please. Thank you. We're calling on Wednesday because of the time constraints and also because of the, I'd say, the magnitude of the topic we dealt with. We ended with a question that someone threw at me. I don't think he's here now. And that is, with the point of view that I put forth this past Wednesday, you won't get in or with kids. If you say to them, I have 1,000% questions on God, and at the same time I have 1,000% faith in God, and I'm not going to make my faith dependent upon the answers to those questions, then the kids would say to us, so what do I need you for? I asked you a question, all you did is legitimize my question, and you went further. I don't need someone to do that. That's like you go to a doctor, and you say, doctor, my throat hurts, and the doctor looks in your throat and says, you know your throat is red. Okay. That's what I can't... I know my throat is red. I look in the mirror. I know it's red. I don't need a guy who went through 7 years in medical school to tell me my throat is red. I know my throat is red. What is the diagnosis? And that's the question we left off with. In order for me to answer this question, which is a very pinpointed, targeted, and I believe real one, let's go back a step and see what I said on Wednesday now within the sources, and then we'll try to address that question. And with the point of view I'm going to put forth today can be summed up in one sentence. If you remember this sentence, you understood this year. Better a good question than give a lousy answer. Better to stay with a good kasha than to give a lousy teretz. Let's see what I mean. If you recall, I said that in the Hoshanos, that we say on Hoshana Rabbah, usually only on Hoshana Rabbah, we say the word Taharuga alecha v'nechshevet kitzon tivcha zuya ben machiseha. We're being killed for you, God. This anti-Semitism. We're within all the hatreds around us. I mean, we're living in a bad neighborhood. We're living in Israel. All around us, they're not exactly great neighbors. But even so, chavuka v'buka bach, we're hugging you. We're clinging to you, God. Indeed, if you recall, that's the point of view, in my opinion, that Iyov said when all the tragedies happened to Iyov, to Job. Iyov says, Shimunato chachati. He says to his friends, listen to the tochecha. What's tochecha?
Rebuke.
What? Rebuke. Curses. Listen to the tochecha I'm about to say. I'm not going to say everything God said and did was good and everything is fine and I'm not even going to question it. No! It's bad. It's terrible. It's hurtful. And in the same parak, parak yud gimel of Eyov, Eyov says the words, hein yakhileni lo ayachel. And there's a Korean ktiv here, which is beautiful. Hein yachtileini, when they try to kill me, lo, either with an olive or lo with a vav, ayachel. Lo with an olive means if they try to kill me with an olive, I won't look towards you. Lo ayachel means I will look towards you. And that's the point of view that I said in the name of my teacher, Rav Amital, and that's the point of view I personally have adopted. And that is that even though I have 1,000% questions, and I'm not going to go ahead and sugarcoat what's happening. I'm not going to say everything God says is good and fine, and I'm not going to bring up the question. I am for bringing up the question, number one. Number two, I am for bringing up the question in all its magnitude. And number three, I am not going to go ahead and say God's not part of it. God is part of it, and I'm going to come with hard questions to God. And number four, even so, I have faith in God. I have this hidden faith that I cannot explain because it's faith. By definition, faith is not logical. And therefore, I have this hidden faith in God despite it all. Thus the Gemara says in Masechet Sota in the Mishnah, Lo avad Iyov et HaKadosh Baruch Hu elo miyahava. Iyov had only love for God, Shenemar, Hen yaktileini, lo ayachel. When they try to kill me, I look towards God. And then comes along Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Mi galei afar meinecha Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shehayita doresh kol yamecha. If you can only take you out of your grave, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you said, Shelo avad Iyov et hamakom ela miyirah, that Iyov served God out of yirah, out of awe, trepidation, not out of love. Shenemar, Ish tam v'yasha yirei Elohim v'sar mirah. V'halo Yeshua tamita mitkala matshmiya v'asa. We have a beautiful machlokas in the Eov. Fear God or love God? I personally think that both are true. On the one hand, Eov saw what was happening to him. He was scared out of his wits. And on the other hand, for some reason, unexplainable, he loved God. He couldn't explain why, He had very harsh questions against God. If you recall the book of Eov, all the answers that his so-called friends gave him, he didn't accept. He said they're all baloney. But at the same time, he had total faith in God. Explain it? I can't explain it. I can't explain it because faith, by definition, as Archie Bunker once said, is something you believe in and no one in their right mind would believe in. That's faith. I have faith in my parents. I can't explain why. I have faith in certain people. I can't explain why. I guess if he has a kippah on, I have faith in him. He won't trick me. Now, there are Jews out there with kippahs on that can pull one over your eyes, and many of them are rotting in jail right now. But still, I have faith in a Shomer Shabbos Jew. What can I say? Thus says the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, the beautiful words from Shir HaShirim, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mai Dichti Li ben Shaddai Alin, that I'm going to sit right near the bosom of God, so to speak. Amar Knesset Yisrael of Nei Kodesh Baruch Hu, says the Jewish people to God, Yiboino Shaloylam, Af Al Pi Shemetzar Umeymar Li, even though it's hard for me, I am in dire straits, Ben Shaddai Alin, I'm sitting within the bosom of God. Once again, we see in this Gemara, no one's saying everything you do in God is good and therefore I'm clinging to you. No. What does the Gemara say? Afal pishe meitzar umeimar li. What do those words mean? What's meitzar? Min ha-meitzar, karatika. What's meitzar? Straight. Small. Dire straits. Ben ha-meitzarim, the 3 weeks. Umeimar li, from the word mar, bitter. Even though it's bitter and it's terrible, and I'm not sugarcoating it, Ben Shaddai Alin. Now.
Can we play devil's advocate here?
Yeah, sure.
You believe in a fellow because he's wearing a kippah, and then he steals from you, beats you up repeatedly. You still going to have faith in him?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so child, you know, I just have faith in God when it's totally illogical. Not only illogical from the sense that you can't prove it, but everything is going against you.
I can sit and tell a child all the proofs that are out there to believe in God. And there are many out there. The Rambam devoted a lot to it, Nihoteyot, many other philosophers. But if they ask, the child puts me against the wall and says, bottom line, why are you a Jew? Why do you keep mitzvot? The bottom line is, I have faith. Not because of all the logical explanations.
In
God. And that he is telling us to do what we do for the right.
But that's
now, that is different. Now,
I accept your
correction that with human beings, well, you stop believing in that human being because that human being ultimately went against your faith. You believed in him, and he tricked you. And he did it intentionally.
The difference is
God ultimately never came along and tricked you intentionally, or at least I don't believe he did. I believe that there is the hand of God. I just don't understand it. Why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow such a young woman to be killed? I don't understand it. Now, human beings can be terrible people. But God can be terrible. It's hard for me to believe. And again, I say the word believe.
Can't one argue that one believes that because if you didn't believe that, your life would be totally miserable? You have to believe that there's a super being because this can't be it. We can't totally, you know.
I like what you're about to say. Allow me to quote it in my words. If you look at the next source, you said exactly what I'm about to say. There was a book put out, a biography on my Rebbe Rav Amital by a guy named Eliashiv Reichner. It's been now translated into English. I really, even though I'm no Geba Dover, I think it's a fascinating biography of the Jewish people in the 20th century. From the Shoah, to the founding of the State of Israel, through all the wars and religious Zionism, it's all in there. So if you really want to know the history of modern times, that would be a very good source amongst many. Anyway, in this source here in the box, you could see the following story. I'll read it out loud. When Rav Amital was back in Hungary, there was a guy named Yehoshua Hager, who was, I think, the nephew of the Vishnitzer Rebbe. And he was telling everyone to escape from Hungary and to where, during the war, there was semi-normal Jewish life.
What Hager does.
Comes along.
That's what Hager does.
And there was a big fight. Comes along Yehoshua Hager, and Yehoshua Hager says, we have to escape. And Rav Amital says, first of all, escaping won't help. They'll get us there. Number two, most people won't be able to escape. They don't have your money. You happen to be rich. And number three, if God decreed that we have to die, so we'll die. Kiddush Hashem. And this was the Rav Amital. And that was basically the difference of opinion between them. He says, we have to get ready to mutl Kiddush Hashem. There's nothing we can do practically to get out of this.
What about Shabbos?
There's nothing we can do.
We're just going to sit and wait for a guy to come take it.
So Dov misunderstood me, so I will explain again. Not do anything, but rather there's nothing practically we can do. In other words, here's a practical, comes along Yeshua Hagen and says, we have to do Ishtatos, and this is what I suggest. And Rav Amitov said, what you're suggesting is not practical for three reasons. Anyway, both Yeshua Hagen and Rav Amitov survived the war. Okay, Yeshua Hagen did not escape, was in the camps, and survived the war. They finally meet up years later, not so many years later, in Israel, right here near us in Kfar Etzion. Yeshua Hagen was the chaver of the kibbutz, and Rav Amitov was visiting. Yeshua Hagar sees him. This is not in the book, but I know this from Rav Amitav. Sees Yehuda. You survived? Go to hell. You said we should be ready to die in Kiddush Hashem, and you survived. Rav Amitav, of course, said, what do you want from me? I survived. A terrible thing. Okay. So then Yeshua Hagar said, Yehuda, do you remain religious? After everything you went through, did you remain religious? Look what he answers him. Says Rav Amitav, second line. The ilu lo nisharti dati, hasheilot hayu muvanot, hatofa ita muvenet yoter, vura. And if I didn't remain religious, then I would understand everything. Everything would be okay then. There's no God, so therefore everything happened, and then I'm okay. I understand why 6 million Jews were killed by the Nazis. Because now there's no God, so there's no God ruling the world. Now I understand. Obviously not. The questions are better than the answers. Because if you say that, then a new question comes up. So who do you have, whose fault is this? That what happened, happened. The Nazis? So how do you explain the Nazis with all due respect?
How do you explain any...
The human being? Wait a minute. So the human being failed us? Oh, so if human beings fail, should I put my faith in any human being? Maybe not. Maybe I should live in a cave somewhere. And ultimately, that's where I'll live, because I can't put my faith in human beings. Look, Nazis were Germans. They were very upright individuals. There were concerts. There were opera halls. And look what they did. So maybe I can't put my faith in human beings. In other words, I can go on and on, but the bottom line is, any answers you're going to give, you're going to have new questions. Bottom line is, the questions are better than the answers. So therefore, Rav Amitav said, Yad Hashem ra'iti b'shoa etech mashmauta lo hibanti. I saw the hand of God in the Shoah, I just never understood it. Until his dying day, he kept on saying that. And in shears, in yeshiva lahavdil, he would bring a good question or something, and he'd give answers, and he would feed all the answers, and he'd end the shear with the questions better than the answer, goodbye. Now,
did he think he was wrong in his approach, that maybe he should have gone with Yehuda, rather than going through the concentration camp?
He didn't have the means to do it. He couldn't physically do it. He didn't have the money to pay off the guards. He couldn't physically do it. Obviously.
But the other thing...
But the bottom line is, gentlemen, I believe that when you go to a kid, a student, or someone in dire straits, and they start asking questions against God, if you're going to give good answers, I give you a lot of credit. But I don't personally know a good answer to the question of why bad things happen to good people. I don't. Now, you may. I personally have never gotten to a good answer. I know many of the approaches. I even gave a share on the topic. You can hear it on the web. But I personally have to say I believe that the question is better than the answer. And when my kids ask me good questions, I don't to shut them up, give them a lousy answer. I come and say, you have a good question. And if I get a good answer, stay with your good question, than me giving you a lousy answer.
From what I've heard over the years, that many people in yeshivas were turned off because they asked questions in vain. I never got answers. I was told, don't ask him.
No.
So I think what you're saying is, you have to understand that you're saying it's a good question.
No.
You just don't have
to. Now you're bringing up something that's not this year, but in general is part of our modern Orthodox world and other worlds. And that is, when someone asks a good question and you don't know the answer, you better follow up. What do you mean? You don't know the answer. Goodbye. I don't know the answer, so have a good day. No, you don't know the answer. You ask someone else. You don't know the other person. You come back to that person. Your question is so good, I don't have an answer. A month later, you give them a call. I still don't have an answer. A year later, before Rosh Hashanah, when you're doing a cheshbon ha-nefesh, you call them up. Your question against God is a good question. I don't have an answer. You show you care. You show his question bothers you. But I am not for giving lousy answers to good questions. I am really not. And I'll tell you that, in my opinion, and this is what I wanted to add today, that with students, I believe this is the right approach. And with kids, it's very easy to shut up kids. To show them that, don't bother me now. Very easy. You know that. Right? Yeah, it's not the time for this now. Don't ask the question. It's too hard. We don't talk like that. Of course it's very easy. This way, your table is clean. Is that the way to take care of the fundamental problems of the Jewish people? No, I'm serious. Is that the way to do it? I'll give you an example from our modern Orthodox world. One of the questions that are going to haunt us for the next 10 years, in my opinion, is going to be the place of the woman within the synagogue, within the Orthodox synagogue. This has been a raging issue in America for many years. It's not getting to other places in the world. And you all know the issues, right? Aliyahs, Kiddush, separate women minions, etc., etc. All within halacha. We're not talking about a halacha question here. We're talking about within halacha. Maybe a minority of you, but within halacha. This is a question that haunts us. I have a feeling in the bottom of my heart that the Rabbanim that are dealing with this question, instead of dealing with the fundamental issue, and what is the fundamental issue? Can a woman get an aliyah or not? No, that's a symptom of the issue. What's the fundamental issue? I don't know. I don't think there's equality in Judaism.
No, that's their issue.
I don't think there's equality in Judaism. That's an easy answer. I hate to say it. There's no equality. Women are chayev and less mitzvot than men, so there's no equality. So one of two. Either they're on lower or on a higher level. That's not, in my opinion. The fundamental question is what? What's the fundamental question? No. Nope. We all know the answer to that, too. Here, I'll give you a very clear answer. Ain't no goof. God is not a body. He's not a male, no female. No, what's the fundamental issue? Can a woman say Kiddush for the congregation? Can a woman chant an Haftorah? Can a woman... What? What is the fundamental issue? Zimun for women. What is the fundamental issue? Bottom line. No? They have too much time on their hands. No, again, you're giving answers. What's the issue? What's the question? The question, in my opinion, is love a woman in the Orthodox shul. That's the question. Everything else comes out of it. Namely, you put on the board. Pretend I have a board behind me. I'm a good teacher. I have a blackboard, or today a whiteboard, or a smartboard. On the top it says, what is the place of a woman in an Orthodox synagogue? Then you have, what do you call these? No, I'm thinking my English. No. Flow chart. No. The new arrows. You have arrows. Number one, Elias. Number two, Kiddush. Number three, Zimon. Number four, etc. That's the fundamental issue. I have a feeling sometimes that when rabbis deal with this issue, they're not dealing with that question. What they're dealing with is, can a woman get an aliyah or not? Let's make a whole pilpul on that. That's not the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is, what is the place of a woman in a synagogue? Today, in the year 2011, they're in the workplace as equal as men. So in your synagogue, which is supposed to reflect the Jewish people, there's a mechitza. Fine. Separation I can deal with. I can give lectures on the separation and the importance of it. But how can it be that the men are so active and the women are so passive? That this has offshoots to Zimun, to Kiddush, to Hamotzi, to many other things. So therefore, in my opinion, if you don't have a good answer to that question, say to the woman, that's a very good question. There's a discrepancy between what's happening in the workplace and what's happening in the synagogue. So we have to deal with it properly. And until I get a good, formulated, proper answer, your question is excellent. But as David said, and I agree, don't just leave it at that. Follow up. And formulate and think about it. And maybe you will come to a good answer eventually. On the issue of equality, by the way, Alex, I personally have a point of view. And I gave a four-hour lecture on it last year in the university, Carleton University in Ottawa, on that answer. But it took me years to get to it, and it bothered me for years. And never once in the 22 women I dated before I met my wife did I say to them a sugar-coated answer of, well, women can get aliyahs according to him and not according to him. That's not the question. Come on. Same thing with many other issues. When someone says, how can God do this to me? The worst thing you can do is give him a lousy answer, in my opinion. And the other worst thing you can do is say, don't ask those questions. That's also not very healthy. You can ask any psychologist. I believe you have to go ahead and say, better stay with a good question than to give a lousy answer, and I will follow up. And if I get an answer, I'll tell you. And if not, part of faith is, yes, I believe Parah Aduma is good for the Jewish people. Why? I just believe it's right. Just like I believe in many other things. I believe in my doctor when he gave me this pill that it's going to be good. I didn't check him up on Google. How did that pill help me? I could today. But once upon a time I couldn't. And even today when I go to the doctor to take this, I take it. That's faith. So therefore, and you can see very harsh things here by a student, Rav Meidan, about how Rav Amital said, basically, and Rav Midan says it, I wouldn't dare to say it, but listen to what he said. He said he wouldn't be willing to acquit God for what he did in the Holocaust, and at the same time he had total faith in God. And I believe that's much healthier than to go ahead and have the answer for a good question. In our community today, the modern Orthodox community, the Tzioni Dati community, there are hard questions against us today in many different realms. We mentioned women. I can mention at least five more. Just give you one that haunts us, okay? We're all dressed here with kippot srugot this morning. Is the ideal to wear black and white clothing? Yes or no? I believe that the youth of our communities are dealing with this question today. And by the way, I'm saying black and white as a sisma, as a slogan. But between you and me and the world, Bruce, it's not just black and white. We have a new thing called the Chardalim, commonly called the Chardalim, Chaderim Lumiim. Their kippahs are 10 times bigger than mine, even though their kippot srugot, they look like tanks on the head. And they wear tzitzis all the way down to their knees. And they look strange. And they say, this is the way to go. You look too modern right now, the way you're looking. This wants us. That's a good question. When a Taimani wears payas, is that the way an ideal Jew is supposed to look? And we're apologetic Jews or not? Now, if you have good answers, b'vakasha. If you have lousy answers, weak answers, attempted answers, I think better stay with a better question, stay with a good question than to give a lousy answer. Yeah.
It's not an issue with pastors and crises. The gentleman who was here last week made this point. The Torah is very clear on what punishments God is going to give to the Jewish people in the Tophet. So why do we not think that that actually strengthens our faith to see that God promises us that if you don't do X, Y is going to happen? So when I went to Poland with my witness who was in the Shoah, was a cousin of Shoshana Siegel, an older man from Hino, and we asked him, he was so jovial the whole trip, he said, how do you manage to keep your jocular demeanor, you know, what's going on, and what do you think ultimately went on here? So he took Mordechai Seder and the side, and he said, you have moved one way or the other. Whatever that occurred, try to recover. He's a fight against God, it's very clear. And
I hate to say two things.
Tell kids that.
I personally, in my opinion, both answers you just gave were, in my personal opinion, weak answers. And I'll tell you why. Regarding the Tolchecha, we all know it doesn't work that way.
Why?
Quite frankly, it doesn't work that way.
It seems very clear.
It's very clear, right? The Rabbeim, Rashi Yeshivas, were killed in the Holocaust because they did a Averus.
No, that's not.
Well, that's what you just said. You just said it's a Tolchecha and the Torah. And the Torah says if you don't do mitzvahs, you get cursed. So therefore, they were cursed because they didn't do it.
The nation, obviously, we're all members of the nation. So who's going to get hurt? Individual members. But when the nation does not do what God said,
if I understand you correctly, Rabbi Dr. David Applebaum, Hashem Yikom Damo, was blown up in a restaurant in Jerusalem because other Jews were doing Averus.
I'm talking about the Shoah.
So what you're saying is Jews were doing Averus.
How would you explain the
How were Jews doing Averus? Where?
God says if the nation doesn't.
Where were Jews doing Averus?
All over the world.
All over the world. So the Jews of Europe had to suffer. Jews amongst them, a million and a half children.
The nation is like, this isn't the first disaster. First temple destroyed.
I think that there's a lot of flaws in that answer, personally. However, I will never judge a Holocaust survivor. Ever.
I think
ever. Not for throwing off religion and not for giving answers.
How are you going to explain
I'm telling you that, in my opinion, those are weak answers.
So how would you explain the Torah question?
That's a very good question. How do we explain Parshat Shema, we said this morning? That's an excellent question. At 9:16, I can't answer it properly. That's an excellent, excellent question. And by the way, we should deal with it, perhaps.
Yeah, we do believe in reward and punishment.
We will. Yes, reward and punishment. We have to deal with it. But to say reward and punishment happened in the Holocaust and finished, goodbye, I personally think there's a lot of flaws in that answer. One of the flaws I can give you, and I can give 10 more, is that if that's true, so why did a million die?
We don't have to like the answer. We don't know God's way. We don't have to like it. But that's what God said he's going to do. So he wipes out the nation, the nation's children.
And Dafka in 1939, God decided to do it, huh?
Whatever. That's what happened. That's the facts of history. You either believe in God or you don't. If you believe in God and God says The nation keeps this or not, then if he doesn't...
So if you don't, if you believe, so basically if I say, if I say that the Holocaust was not a punishment to the Jewish people, then I don't believe in God.
Well, there's a problem. If you say, you know, why did God do this, I may not believe in God.
Hey, Alex, let it be written down that I don't believe in God according to Bruce.
If you question and say God
Bruce,
has nothing to do with it...
I will suggest two things to you. Number one, be very careful. Be very, very careful when you talk about faith, because you will... Inevitably, perhaps, put certain people out of the camp.
No,
I would
no,
be
I'm
very careful.
This man that
number
to
two.
God is all of the God.
I'm not judging the man.
The Talmud class seems to apply to in Eretz Yisrael.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's
it talks about goals from Eretz Yisrael. That didn't happen.
So what about the people questioning it? Was that fair? What
question
the, what? The kids, all the kids that suffered in that Talmud. Was that fair to those kids?
You're dealing with two different questions.
But
you're assuming
but
that the Shoah was a punishment, and therefore you're asking if it's fair. I'm saying perhaps the Shoah wasn't a punishment. Perhaps it was the failure of man, not the failure of God.
Well, that's what I said also. Of course it's a failure.
Okay, so that's the question. If that's the answer, leave the Tochecha out of it.
Let's take
a broader issue.
What you're saying is so dangerous, in my opinion. You're like saying if a murderer takes a gun and shoots a Jew, then you have to believe that Jew is repenting for the sins of someone, because everything comes from God. I'm saying, A, I think that the question's better than the answer, and number two, I think that in that situation, if you would say that, then inevitably what you're saying is that every murderer is justified.
No, you can...
He's just doing the will of God.
Ultimately, we have that...
Okay, now you see what we did here? I did this obviously on purpose. See, questions we're dealing with are fundamentally hard, harsh, complex questions. And therefore, every time this big give and take we just gave was actually on purpose, because, in my opinion, what we're doing is we're taking these issues and we're giving simple answers. And every time we give simple answers, we can question those answers. In my opinion, no one has yet come to the answer of why Tzadik V'Ralo. How do I know that's true? Not just from personal experience. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Chazal, asked God, and God said, you will never understand.
Right.
And I don't think we can understand. What I think we could do is give people ways, means, tools to deal with tragedy. But you can't come and say, I have the answer to tragedy.
No, but knowing that God's ultimately in charge is not the answer.
The question is a good question, in my opinion, and you can give people ways to deal with tragedy, just like psychologists and therapy and many things today. Don't say, I have an answer to why you were abused as a kid. You were abused, but now let's give you ways to deal with life despite it. That's ultimately, I think, very helpful. Yes, as long as you give that caveat.
Okay, but now, again...
Now, we're taking time off. Maybe we should continue on Wednesday.
But Judaism...
You can take it off.
You can take it off.